And the preacher to these Hebrews is trying to convince his audience of one basic thing. One basic thing. That Jesus Christ is greater. Jesus Christ is greater than all that's come before him. And that's a big claim for his audience. You see, his audience were Jewish Christians. So these believers had grown up going to the temple in Jerusalem with grandma and grandpa. They knew what it was about. They knew about the priests. They knew about the huge altar and the animals and the sacrifices. They knew the smoke and incense. They knew all the prayers. And they had done this every year to atone for their sins. And the preacher to the Hebrews is saying, no, Jesus is greater than all that. Jesus fulfills all that. Jesus puts all of that to rest. There's no more need for sacrifice. Jesus is enough. So where does that leave us? What's next for these Hebrew believers? Well, before the preacher points forward, he points back. Back to the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah lived about 600 years before Jesus. And God made this promise to his people. This promise. Can we read this promise together? Let's read it together. This is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts. I will write my laws on their minds. I will not remember their sins anymore. I will not remember the evil things they have done. And the preacher to the Hebrews says, this promise that God made so long ago, it's been fulfilled. It's come true in Jesus. We know it to be true. And I want to focus today on that last bit where the Lord says, I will not remember their sins anymore. I will not remember the evil things they've done. Think about that. That's a powerful promise that the God who made all things, that the God who rules over all things, that the God who knows all things, this God says, I promise to forget something. I won't remember something. Remembering, memory, it's a powerful thing. There's a pastor and a writer named Frederick Buechner. And Buechner, he talks about remembering. He says there's a room inside all of us where the past lives on as part of the present. Where the past lives on as part of the present. He says one way or another, we're always remembering. We're always remembering. There's no escaping it, even if we want to. Or at least we can't escape it for long. In one sense, the past is dead and gone. It's never to be repeated. It's over and done with. But in another sense, it's not done with. At least it's not done with us. Every person we've ever known, every place we've ever been, everything that's ever happened to us, it still lives and breathes somewhere deep inside us. The past isn't just the past. It lives on as part of the present. What do you do with that room inside you? Have you put a deadbolt on it? Say, I'm not interested in going into my past. There are things in there I don't want to remember. So we avoid it. We pretend like that thing never happened, that we never did that thing or that didn't happen to us. But sometimes we can't avoid that room within us, that room full of memories. Sometimes we find ourselves in there, and we're crying, or we're screaming with anger, or we're curled up in shame because of what we see in that room and what lives in that room. And we're reminded that we can't let go of the past like we want to. We haven't let go, or we can't let go, and we find that we're still holding on to something, holding on to the hurt, holding on to our shame, or it's somehow holding on to us, and it won't let go. The Lord says, I will not remember their sins anymore. I will not remember the evil things they have done. What about the sins done to us? Will God forget those too? Every Sunday we say the Lord's Prayer before communion, and we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's another way of saying, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who've sinned against us. We pray that. We say those words. Do we mean them? Do we want to mean them? I think we need to be clear about the difference between forgetting and forgiving. Forgetting and forgiving. Forgetting can be cheap. Forgetting can be a way of avoiding the truth, of hiding from the truth, pretending it didn't really happen. And forgetting can deny justice. Forgetting can lead victims back to their abusers, so the abuser doesn't have to change their ways, have to face their sin. This is not what it means when it says the Lord will not remember. This is not what it means. Forgetting can be cheap, but forgiving is always costly. Forgiving is always costly. Forgiving looks at the sin. It looks at the hurt. It looks at the wounds and the pain and says, look, see. Let's look at this together. You see how you hurt me? There's no hiding with forgiveness. Forgiveness involves justice. Not necessarily punishment, but it involves making the wrong right again. Forgiveness says, yes, you hurt me. But it also says, I know I've hurt others. I know I'm not innocent. But when I've gone into that room of memories, the Lord has met me there. And the Lord has said, I see what you've done. But I've paid for it. I've covered you. I've washed you clean. And when we know that, when we know we've been forgiven, then we can say, yes, I'm willing to forgive you too. Do we believe God's promise to forgive is true for our enemy? It's a hard question. For the person that's hurt us most, do we believe Jesus' blood covers them and washes them? Pastor, it sounds okay, but you don't really know what happened to me. You don't know what she said about me. You don't know what he did to me. And it's true, I don't know. I don't know. Let me tell you a story about Mary. Mary is 59 years old. She's from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she's a teacher's aide. She works at a local school. And Mary loves to sing. Mary loves to sing. She sings at church. She sings at home. She sings God's praises in the car. But it's a bit surprising that Mary still sings praises after what she's been through. because in Mary's room of memory, she has a lot of hurt and a lot of pain. That picture Mary's holding is of her son, Laramine. When Laramine was 20 years old, he was at a party. He got into an argument with a 16-year-old named O'Shea. O'Shea took out a gun and shot Laramine to death. Laramine was 16. He was sentenced to 25 years in prison. He served his time. And Mary, after her son died, she went into that room of memories, and she was filled with pain and anger and grief. But she wasn't alone in that room. God kept meeting her in her grief and her pain. And God kept talking to Mary about forgiveness, forgiveness. You see, Mary was a believer. She was a follower of Jesus. And God kept speaking to her about forgiveness. And it took her a long time, but after about 15 years, she called up the Minnesota State Prison System and said, "I want to visit a young man named O'Shea." So she went to the prison, and she visited the man who killed her son. And O'Shea he didn't know what to do. He said, "I killed this woman's son. Why is she coming to visit me?" But Mary kept coming back to prison. She kept visiting O'Shea, and over some years, they got to know each other. And when O'Shea was released from prison, Mary said, "I want you to come live next to me. The apartment next door is open." So O'Shea moved in next door to Mary, and he's really become like a son to her, a new son. Forgiveness wasn't easy for Mary, but she said, "Unforgiveness is like cancer. It will eat you from the inside out." She said, "It's not just about the other person. Me forgiving him doesn't diminish what he's done. Yes, he murdered my son, but the forgiveness is also for me, for my healing. And of course it's for O'Shea too." O'Shea admits it's not easy to be forgiven or to forgive himself. He says, "I haven't totally forgiven myself yet. I'm still learning to forgive myself." But Mary's forgiveness started to change O'Shea's life. A convicted murderer, now he's working at a recycling plant during the day, and at night he's going to college. And O'Shea loves to sing like Mary does. So O'Shea visits churches and prisons to tell his story and to sing about God's forgiveness and how it's changed his life. St. Paul tells the Colossians, "Forgive one another if you're holding something against someone." Is anyone else good at holding things? Forgive just as the Lord forgave you. Mary made God's forgiveness real to O'Shea. She made it real so that he could believe it. Not because Mary was perfect, but because when she stepped into her room of memories, she didn't just meet her beloved son who she'd lost. She also met the beloved Son of God who also died. Who didn't just die for her sins or for Laramine's sins, but for O'Shea's sins. And she couldn't ignore that. She remembered that Christ loved O'Shea just as much as Christ loved her and her son she lost. Do we believe God's forgiveness is really that powerful, that deep, that transformative? The Lord says, "I will not remember their sins anymore. I will not remember the evil things they have done." There's a room we go to remember God's love for us. It's an upper room. And in that room, there's a table. And the Lord Jesus invites us to come and sit down and to remember God's love. I'd like us to read these verses from Hebrews 10 we already heard. Let's just read one section at a time, okay? Let's read the first one together. Brothers and sisters, we are not afraid to enter the most holy room. We enter boldly because of the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Let's keep reading. His way is new because he lives. It has been opened for us through the curtain. I'm talking about his body. His body. We also have a great priest over the house of God. So let us come near to God with a sincere heart. Let us come near boldly because of our faith. We come to this table every Sunday in faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled. Our minds have been cleansed from a sense of guilt. Our bodies have been washed with pure water. We remember we've been baptized. We've been sprinkled. We've been washed in the waters of baptism. So let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The God who is promised is faithful. The God who promised is faithful. Friends, in Jesus Christ we're forgiven. In Jesus Christ we're washed clean. And in Jesus Christ we're set free. We're free to enter that most holy room. We're free to enter God's presence. We're free to come near God. And we're free to enter our own room of memories because God is there with us to face our sins, to face those sins that have been done against us, because there Christ's suffering meets our suffering. And God's forgiveness is there for us, and God's forgiveness is there for others.